Jude is a sharp book, very sharp book, very sobering book. And the main purpose to why Jude writes this divine letter was to exhort the believers to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. In verse 3 he says, I exhort you that you should earnestly contend, earnestly, contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And the reason why he says this is because there are people that have crept in the church unawares, distorting the doctrine or the divine doctrine of grace. These people crept in and turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, undermining the holiness of God, undermining the character of God. As we heard a few weeks ago, it's almost like these preachers invite you to come as you are, but stay as you are. They kind of teach you that you need to be like them to win them. And they undermine the character of God in every facet. When you look at the Bible and see, compared to what these teachers teach, they teach a convenient Christianity, not a crucified Christianity. They make people feel comfortable in their sin. They make people feel that it's okay to sin. Now, it's okay to struggle, but it's not okay to sin. We all struggle. Amen? We all struggle through the Christian life, but it's not okay to sin. It's not okay. We need to repent from our sin. But these people crept in and turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. It's in a very subtle and very cunning way of ministers that would simply distort the truth of God's word in every single way you can think of regarding the grace of God and the holiness of God. That, you know, the holiness of God is a byproduct of the grace of God. The grace of God leads us to the holiness of God. So over here he says, we must earnestly contend. It's what we looked at a few weeks ago. And it means to agonize or to have a strong determination to fight for the truth. Well, we ought not to be indifferent about contending for the faith. He says, earnestly contend, not be flippant about the essential truths of the gospel that all true Christians hold in common. Every single one of us hold in common the doctrine of grace that led us to salvation. You know, we believe in the grace of God. And the grace of God teaches us wonderful things about the holiness of God and how we should live godly and how we should live as Christians in this dark world. We ought to fight for the sake of the truth. And a few weeks ago I gave some examples on how we should contend. And first I mentioned that we should be contending by confronting these people or these false people, false prophets, these creeps, confronting them. You know, Jude 1:4 says there are certain men that crept in unawares. And these men that creep in to Christendom today, whether it's Christendom as a whole or in a local church, need to be confronted, need to be marked out, need to be pointed out, need to be exposed, if you will. A lot of people don't want to have that kind of ministry, but it's needful. It's needful to point out the defiled ways of Balaam. It's needful. It's not a popular ministry, but it needs to be done. And a lot of people are not willing to do it because it's not pleasant. And some men will admit that to you. I'll admit that to you. It's not a pleasant thing. There's something that goes on here. It's like a struggle. But that's the contending and earnestly contending. We're talking about the wholesome kind of biblical contending that is good. There's a struggle that takes place in your heart. But we must remember that these creeps are people that are trying to distort the truth so others are affected. This is not something that we should be casual about. This is, you know, affects the souls of men. The souls of men simply are in the balance of good Bible truth and that which is wicked. You know, honestly, you get people that are influenced to live in a way that is displeasing to God. And this is the life of a creep is the life of a hypocrite. And the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. But those that are delivered, the just that are delivered through knowledge. And so that's why it's important to expose the creeps, but we'll look at that later on. But to confront them is important. To confront those that are perhaps, led astray. And there are many people that are led astray by creeps. They're not purposely being creeps, but they're influenced by the creeps, and therefore, you know, they're deceiving people. And they need to be confronted. Whether they're ignorant or whether they're doing it purposely, they need to be confronted. We need to contend by confronting those that are distorting the truth of God's word. They're not there to edify the saints. They're not there to basically, you know, simply help the people follow the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to following themselves. They call disciples after themselves and they do it for a purpose. Peter says that they do it for money. They do it for power. And so Paul confronted creeps through his ministry. We looked at a few weeks ago how he confronted that false prophet for distorting the truth. Jesus confronted the creeps. Remember, he confronted the Pharisees. He really confronted the Pharisees. And second of all, contending by the faith is caring for others. The Bible says very clearly in verse 22, have a look, verse 22, that some have what? Compassion making a difference. This could be also talking to those that have been influenced, saints that have been influenced. And you know what? Christians are influenced by this greasy grace doctrine. They're very influenced. You know how influenced Christians can be? That you can hear a message like this, or a message, you know, that we need to contend and the holiness of God, and sometimes it's short-lived by just one little creep creeping in and just undermining the character of God, the message, the word of God. That doesn't really say that, you know. Yeah, it's so easy to influence or break down a message in the heart of God's people. That's why God's people need to be matured, so they're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, especially the doctrine of grace that leads to holiness. And so compassion is the way we care for others, by contending and by exposing and warning them from this evil spirit that is taking over Christendom. It's evil. It's wicked. And so Jude is warning us. As a matter of fact, the first message I preached, I was preaching on the creeps and their character. You see a whole list, we can't go through it now, of how Jude exposes the character of these creeps. And he really lays hard into their character and how they look like and smell like and their intentions. And there are people that are affected by these men. And this is the whole reason why he warns them by exposing their character. Jesus warned his disciples. He warned his disciples by alluding to their conduct. He said, these are wolves in what? Sheep clothing. These are wolves in sheep clothing. Beware of the false prophets, teachers, which come unto you in sheep clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. In other words, they're animals that really want to tear you apart. These are, you know, want to distort the Christian life so they can cause a destruction to your spiritual growth. Some of them water down the truth. They water it so down that it there's nothing there to drink. Spurgeon said regarding this that there's not enough left to make soup for even a sick grasshopper. There's nothing. It's all fluff. Nothing. They distort the meat of God's word, of discernment and wisdom. Yeah, a lot of people just don't have discretion. They don't have the wisdom of God. They receive everything that calls themselves a Christian. This is wrong. They put mud in the water. That's what they do. The beautiful crystal water of God's word, they put mud in it. They muddy the waters of God's word to confuse people. They are malicious, unbelieving animals who prey on the simple and unstable and immature Christians that are just drinking milk. The one way to mature the believers is to warn them against these creeps. Oh, but you're going to be too judgmental when you do that. You don't want to be doing that. No, we have to do that. I don't know about you, but if there are creeps creeping in your own home, wouldn't you warn your kids about them? Absolutely. Of course you would. The Apostle Peter warns his readers. We don't have time to go through it, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, he warns his readers about the false prophets, false teachers creeping in back then and even in the churches back then, and so much more today, wanting to make merchandise of God's people, using flattery words to lure them in. And the Apostle Paul warns his fellow brethren time and time again, even saying, beware of dogs. Beware of dogs? I mean, that's a pretty harsh, don't you think? Well, they're dogs. Want to tear people's lives, want to ruin their lives. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before pigs. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. And so there are people that are just, you know, wanting to undermine, if you will, the work of God, the ways of God, the word of God, the will of God in every sense of the word, and even now the character of God regarding his grace. And you can talk about love and mercy all you want, but that love and mercy leads us to fear God and love God and serve God in a holy manner, with fear and trembling. Grace of God doesn't teach us to go and live how we want. The grace of God doesn't go and teach us how we go serve the way we want and the way we feel. It's the problem with the church of Laodicea. Made God sick. Can you imagine that? A church that made God sick. So we see that contending for the faith is caring for Christians and warning them. And that's compassion. Making a difference. Hey, listen, you don't want to listen to that. You don't want to listen to him. Here's why. Yeah. Said to a brother just the other day, listening to a guy from this church. And I said, that's not a good church. Their preachers are not good. They're very subtle. You hear the name Jesus there. And he said, it was a good message. I said, let's sit down. I'll pick it apart for you using the word of God. You're willing to do that? Remember that? Remember? Let's do it. Why would I want to do that? To show the subtlety of someone that's just become a babe in Christ so they can see the deception. Yeah. There's a lot of deception out there. A lot of creeps. We need to warn the Christians. And that's compassion. Putting ourselves in their shoes. I don't know about you. When I first became a Christian, I would just take anything that was good. I went to Koorong. I thought it was the best thing in the world. Thought, wow, this is the best shop. I want to stay here. And then found out later on there was a 5% store. Only 5% in Koorong is good. All the other stuff, man, you got to go with a magnifying glass and search it out. No, I'm serious. You've got to be very careful. But I remember just being very simple. I remember, you know, going to a Bible-believing church, born-again church. And I thought, everybody in this church is a Christian. I came out of Catholicism. I thought, man, Catholicism turned the grace of God into, you know, a different kind of distortion. But, you know, this church is preaching the gospel and this church is standing by the truth. And everybody in here is saved. And little I know, there were people within that church was carnal as, saying, brother, no, it's okay, you can do that. You're going a bit too far here. I said, really? But God has done the work in my heart. This is undeniable. I know the Holy Spirit's convicted me. You're telling me I can't, I should, it's okay to be doing that? Little do they know, they didn't know the work of God in my life through his word. That was a conviction by God. And by the way, they're the best kind of convictions. Amen. When you're convicted by God by his word, they're long lasting. Because you're not just doing it for men. You're not just doing it for men. You're doing it because God has convicted you about a truth from his word and you believe it. And then someone comes and says, oh, no, that's okay, you can do that. You can go a little bit too far. I started realizing not everybody that called themselves a Christian wants to live a holy life. Right. Thirdly, contending by our Christian conduct is what I want to talk to you tonight about. I didn't have time last a few weeks ago, but today we'll look at this. Have a look at verse 20. We must live out the word of God. We contend by our lives. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Our lives, the way we live, may be a threat to some, but to others it's a sweet-smelling savor. Amen. People see our lives and say there's something different about these people. And may God help us, not only the way we act and the conduct of our, you know, outward apparel and all the different things that we do, but I'm talking about even our spirit, our attitude, the Christian fruit of the Spirit, our life, if you will, in respect to a Christ-like life. In every sense of the word, have a look at verse 20. He says this, Jude, verse 20, but ye beloved. So he points out the creeps, but he says, but ye beloved, building up yourself on the most holy faith. See that? But you, beloved, building up yourselves on the most holy faith, the faith that you have held to, the faith that you should be contending for. This is the faith that should be building up in your life. In other words, it's your responsibility for spiritual growth, to build yourself up. How did Jesus, you know, demonstrate that on the Sermon on the Mount? He concluded it, right? To be a wise builder, you must what? Hear and do. Be a hearer of the word and a doer of the word. This is the way we grow as Christians. And have a look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. He says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I believe he's talking about sinners, making a difference in the life of the saints. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Notice this word, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Holy living while reaching the lost. You know, we ought to be a people that want to abstain from all appearances of evil. We want to hate what God hates. We want to hate sin in every form. We want to hate ungodliness. Hating it. Having a holy hatred for it. And that means, yeah, I preach against it. And yes, I teach the proper way of godly living, but I need to live it out. When I go out there and reach people, when I go out there and rinse souls, when I go out and warn, when I go out and rebuke the false teachers, when I warn the believers, when I reach sinners, I must live a holy life. And I do that by building myself up on the faith, living the Christian life. I mean, all through the scriptures, we see this take place. Hey, these are the creeps, but you, Christians. These are the false believers, but you. Have a look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And look at verse 6. He says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of what? The words of what? Faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. And look at verse 12. No man despise thy youth, Timothy, but be thou an example to the believers in word and in what? Conversation, the way of life, your manner of life, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in what's that word? Purity. Look at verse 11. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing so thou shalt both save thyself and them that what? Hear thee. They're accompanied together. Doctrine with conduct. Our conduct is so important. I mean, we ought to have the right doctrine regarding the grace of God. We ought to preach about holiness, but we ought to live it as well. Amen. Ought to be manifested in our own lives. Have a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is one of the best ways that we can contend for the faith by our life, by we living the Christian life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 1. This know also that in last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fears, look at this, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Look at verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such, what does he say? Turn away. They have a form of godliness. These people that are exhibiting all these ungodly behavior and these last perilous, dangerous times. Look at this list. These guys are professors. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Notice, have a look at verse 6. For of this sort are they which creep into who? Houses. and led captive, silly woman laden with sins, led away with divers lust. They prey on the vulnerable. These people that claim Christianity but don't live Christianity prey on the simple. They creep in. But notice what he says in verse 14, verse 10. Look what he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, and what else? Manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Look at this. Deceiving and being deceived. These are the creeps. I mean, these are not just your sinners out there in the world drinking and living in sin, and your harlots and your tax collectors. These are people that are claiming Christianity. These are deceived people, and they're deceiving people, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, having a form of godliness, but there's no power in their life. There's no fruit in the Spirit. They're just all talk, and they're just big heads with no hearts. Their heart's not changed. I know a lot of Bible. So that's one thing that's fascinating to me. How much Bible they know. It's amazing. Did you know the devil knows Bible? It doesn't mean anything. How else are they supposed to deceive you? Think about that. How else? By knowing Bible and twisting it here and twisting it there and just making it sound nice. Professionals. But notice what he says in verse 14. But continue thou in. Who? You, Timothy. Don't be like these people. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, continue thou in the scriptures that has made you wise unto salvation. And notice what else it is able to do in verse 16. For all scriptures given by the inspiration of God is profitable for what? Doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what the scriptures is able to do also. It's able to perfect you. Christian maturity. Build you up in the faith. Amen? Amen. Have a look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And look at verse 17. Philippians chapter 3. Look at verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you, and often tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. These are the creeps that distort the word of God. They're enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. But notice what he says, but our conversation, our manner of life. He says, our manner of life is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where our eyes are. It's on eternal things, not on earthly things. Amen. Amen. Yeah, they mind earthly things. They mind temporal things, but we mind eternal things. Our affection should be on the things above. Our members should be mortified, deadened, put to death. That's the Christian life. That's the conduct we should be living. And this is one of the best ways to contend for the faith. People ought to see Christianity lived out. That our life ought to be spent living for the glory of God. They live for their own glory. They make merchandise. They live off the ministry. They use Jesus' name to make a dollar. I mean, that's sad, but it happens. They sell books of how you can prosper. And you know what's sad? Christians read it. How many people watch Joel Osteen and learn from his 25-minute fluff? Yeah. Man, if you can't see it by, you know, if you're a Christian that's been a Christian for a while, you need to see that he is nowhere next to what God has called to be a preacher. Nowhere next to. Oh, but you said his name. Yes. Diotrephes, I said his name too. Didn't John say his name? One's the preeminence. Wants to lead people away from the truth, away from the true apostles of God that were chosen by God to preach the word of God, to preach the holiness of God and the ways of God. Hey, look at them for an example. Look how they gave their life. They gave it. They were crucified with Christ. They were martyred for their faith. They were willing to preach Christ, but they were willing to die for Christ. I mean, really, these people that want to be apostles in our day-to-day and call themselves apostles, how do you match the 2 Corinthians chapter 11 as Paul speaks like a fool? You want to be an apostle? Go through what I went through. Go ahead. You want to see the list of what I've been through? And by the way, Jesus prophesied that he would go through that. He'd go through those sufferings. He was a special chosen vessel for the glory of God. And he knew that he's going to suffer heavily. Okay, you want to be an apostle? Let's go. Let's see it. Let's see it. Go ahead. I mean, these guys were the scum of the earth. They're the outcasts of society. Even some Christians couldn't handle them. At least Paul the Apostle had battles with the church. The church at Corinth, maybe not the church at Philippi. You know why he battled with the church at Corinth? 2 Corinthians 11. They were easily taken by this other spirit, another gospel, another Jesus. They were taken so easily, which is not another, but it's a counterfeit. It is an absolute counterfeit gospel. And I say it again, Christians might not care for the counterfeit, but Christians are definitely influenced by the counterfeit. They're influenced by the spirit that is sweeping our nations, and they just go with the flow. They accept everything that puts a tag on it, Jesus. It must be good, says Jesus on it. But what kind of Jesus? This is the day that we live in. Remember what Titus said? Have a look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 11 in Titus chapter 2. Notice what it says here. Titus chapter 2. Look at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to who? All men. What does it teach us? What does the grace of God really teach us? Denying ungodliness. You know what that is? To deny everything that is against God. Everything that is against God's way, God's word, God's will. Deny it. And that's a hard standard to live by, isn't it? And by the way, we're living in an ungodly world, with ungodly people, and we were one of them. And he came and he gave himself for the who? Ungodly. Yeah. But just because we're saved, it doesn't give us a license to continue in our ungodliness. We deny it. We don't want anything to do with it. As a matter of fact, we rebuke ungodliness. We ought to rebuke ungodliness, especially Christians that claim they know Christ. Those that don't, we just preach the gospel to them and call them to repent. But those that know Christ and live in an ungodly manner ought to be rebuked, don't you think? Absolutely. Because their conduct is confusing, especially in a local church. Especially in the local church. And I'm talking about ungodliness that's in your face. someone that is just simply against God's will and word and way and claims to be a Christian. And have a look. And worldly what? Lust. Worldly lusts. I mean, you can go on through the scripture and say, what are worldly lusts? Pleasures of this life. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Things that distort the work of God. Demas was a statistic because he loved the pleasures of this life. God can't. Look, Paul. Listen, you can't use people in the ministry that their heart, the world is full of their heart is full of the world. You can't. No way in the world. I don't know which missionary was it, but he said this: if you want to bring men, bring broken men. They're sick of the world. They're done with it. Broken men in the ministry. It says, denying ungodliness, worldliness, we should live how? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how we ought to live. Very sober way, a very godly way, a righteous way, a way that pleases God, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a what? A peculiar people. Zealous of good works, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. What do you think? Why do you think he ended his chapter this way? Why do you think the Apostle Paul ended his chapter this way after concluding that this is the way the grace of God teaches us to live? Because there's a fight against it. But over here he says, rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. Marking out sin, ungodliness. You know, the church of God ought to hate sin with a passion. Ought to get rid of that evil, leaven. Out. Not accept it. Not be tolerant of it like the church of Corinth. The whole point of it is, hey, you know, you need to get things done. You ought not to love sin. You ought to hate it. These people were parading sin in the church. They were influenced by these false teachers. This different spirit. This greasy grace. This license to sin that undermines the holiness of God. We ought not to tolerate fornication in the church. I said, we ought not to tolerate fornication in the church of God. Amen. We ought not to tolerate drunkenness in the church of God. Amen. That's not tolerable. That's the sinners of this world, not for Christians. Christians are saved out of that. Amen. We ought not to tolerate it. These are willful sins. You don't slip up into these. They're premeditated. God wants us to hate them. Turn our backs on the filth. We ought not to tolerate pornography. When someone told me that they're struggling with pornography, he was a family man with children, and he said, this is my long life struggle. Your long life struggle? You mean you're never going to get victory over this? And I said that. I said, you're not going to be in the ministry anymore. I was willing to work with you and help you get victory, but I said, please, sorry. And I, by the way, I cried when I stepped him down. It was one of the hardest things to do. But it must be done. It must be done. Because God is not pleased with wickedness and ungodliness and filth like that within the body of Christ. God loved us while we're yet sinners, no problem. But God expects a lot more from Christians. You know what? God expected a lot more from Israel. Called her bride and she went a whoring. I mean, let's go to Jeremiah. Let's see what Jeremiah was caught to contend for the faith. Did you know that? Did you know that God called Jeremiah from his mother's womb to contend for the faith? I mean, have a look at this testimony of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1, look at verse 5. I mean, this is remarkable. A man that God has given him a strong forehead to contend. Contend. against who? God's people that went a-whoring, influenced by the system of the world and by Baal. And there's nothing different today. And the false teachers and prophets riddled YouTube and riddled our churches and creeping in. We're not really doing not much about it today. May God help us that our stand will be what it is before God. Look, verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. When was that? Now, just ponder upon that for a moment. You think, before you formed me in the belly, you knew me? I mean, that's just remarkable, to say the very least, that God knew Jeremiah before he was formed in the womb. Wow. You know, I mean, just think about that for a moment, that God knew every single one of you before you were born. Now, I don't know about you, but that tells me God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And that's not just saying it in the charismatic way. God has a purpose. I mean, God really does. And that's contending for the truth and the faith. It's standing, not wishy-washy. It's being godly in a wicked world. And listen, that's hard. But that's just beautiful. I just ponder upon that for a moment. Before I informed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Look at verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Look at verse 8. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Why did he say that? We were reading this the other day with the kids, just reading Jeremiah. Says, Elisha, you want to read Jeremiah with me? Let's read for a bit. He came and sat, we read, we got up to this part. So what do you think that God says, don't be afraid of their faces when you're preaching the word of God? What do you think? Because of the reaction that you're going to get when you preach on truth. What, you don't like that? You're not happy with that? How dare you judge? Who gives you a right to say that? God does. This book, if you're preaching the book, not your agenda, but if you're preaching this book, and you're preaching it faithfully, and you get death stares, just preach the word. Just preach it. Remember, we're talking in the context that we're actually contending faithfully with a good spirit. We're going out, we're preaching. And you know, when that takes place, you might get your head chopped off like John the Baptist. It might happen because but hey, that didn't stop him from exposing sin. Hey, listen, you can preach on anything you want, but when as soon as you expose sin, you're gone. That's one of the hardest things to do in preaching. And this is what Jeremiah was called to do, to expose the sin of God's people, to call it out for playing the whore. Look at verse 19. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why? For I am with thee, say the Lord, to deliver thee. Isn't that comforting? When you're preaching the word of God in a good spirit, by the authority of God and going forth by the power of God, God's going to be with you. Wasn't he with the apostles? Absolutely. Wasn't he with Paul? Yes. And he's always, I'm going to be with you. You go and you preach the gospel, fulfill the Great Commission, I'll be with you always, teaching them to observe whatsoever I've commanded you. That's everything that Christ taught, and the inspiration under the Holy Spirit of these godly men that went forth and God empowered them, that we ought to go and teach people and the word of God after they're saved for the development, that they'd know the heart of God and they would not be deceived. They'll live holy lives, Christ-like lives. That's part of the Great Commission, by the way. Discipleship is a big part of the Great Commission. And he says, I'll be with you always. And that's the fight that we fight. We try to help people. We snatch them out, not only by the fire, but we help them live godly lives. And that's hard, brethren. That's a struggle. It's easy to shut your mouth and not deal with it. So easy. But God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to mark out the error. that's causing a stumbling block in Christian maturity for those that want to grow. And then have a look at Israel's crime, just quickly. Look at verse 16. What was Israel's crime? He says, I will utter my judgment against them, touching all their wickedness, for they have what? Forsaken me, have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands. And what's the greatest God today? Self. Lovers of self, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. You know, imagine John writing 1 John 5, the last verse saying, just keep yourself from idols, after he was encouraging people regarding their eternal salvation, because that's the great hindrance. Idols, they went a-whoring, following after idols. What else was their crime? Look at chapter 2, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your father found in me? That they have gone far from me and have walked after what? Vanity, and have become vain. Neither said they, where is the Lord that brought us out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through the land of the desert and the pits, through the land of the drought and the shadow of death, through the land of no man passed through and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof. But when ye entered, ye defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. Man, I gave you good things, but you ruined it. I gave you great things. I delivered you. Wanted to give you a land that flowed with milk and honey, but you went a-whoring to other gods. Joshua had to sound the trumpet and say, hey, listen, what's wrong with you all? Hey, listen, I'm making it clear. Me and my house, we're serving the Lord. You choose which way you want to go, but our house, we're serving the Lord. Made it very clear. There's no middle ground in the Christian life. You want the world? Go to the world. You want God? Come this side. It was all the way through the Bible. No man can serve two masters. Pick one. That's the problem with our nations today. People want to be lukewarm and serve God. God's not having it. Pick one. He's not having it. Notice the priests, the leaders were the ones that were responsible for this. The priest said not, where is the Lord? And the hand of the law knew me not. Hey, these are the ones that were supposed to teach the law, know the law to God's people. Where are they? What are they doing? Have a look. The pastors also transgressed against me. And the prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after things that do not profit. Where are these shepherds that are supposed to lead God's people? Well, they're leading them the wrong way. Notice verse 23. Actually, verse 11. Look at verse 11. Have a nation changed their gods, which are not yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for what? For that which doth not profit. Look at this. Look at this. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn out them own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold no water. Hey, be astonished. Hey, earnestly contend. This is not just casual. Oh, that's okay though. No, this is serious thing. God's people went a-whoring. They left the living God to go where? To go to the prophet of Baal that has nothing to offer. Like, I'm talking about nothing. You know, isn't that astonishing? That's absolutely astonishing that God, that they will leave the living God to go serve a dead God. And that's just, have a look at verse 19. Thy own wickedness shall correct thee. Thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing. Look, it's an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God,
and that thy fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts.
It's an evil, bitter thing to forsake God. And if we don't see it that way, then we have a problem. There's a big problem if we don't see the wickedness of playing the harlot. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Who's he saying that to, James? Believing Jews that were going back and dabbling with the world. He called them. You're playing the harlot, Christians? I mean, is it possible? Yes. What's that God says for a remedy? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil. Be broken. Let your laughter turn into mourning. Hey, this is evil. It's bitter. It's wicked. That's their crime. But you know what's astonishing? If you keep reading, have a look at verse 23. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. I mean, how canst thou say I'm not polluted? Look at verse 35. This will just finish you. Look at this. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from thee. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Haven't you sinned? Like, are you serious? You're still claiming your innocence, that you're right with God. That's just unbelievable. That's unbelievable. But that's the greasy grace that we have today. That's what it is. It's manifest with this priest and shepherds. But notice the return, that God always makes a way back. And he calls them to repent. Have a look at Jeremiah 3, verse 11. That's what I love about God, amen? Amen. Have a look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am, what's that word? Wow. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for what? Looking for his mercies. That's the true grace of God right there. When we repent, because God is looking for a heart that would repent. God is looking for someone that will fear God, and mercy is given to those that fear God. Have a look. I'm going to keep reading here. Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I have mercy, saith the Lord, and I will not keep my anger forever. Look at this. What does he want? Only what? Only acknowledge thine iniquity. Can you just admit it? Can you just admit your sin? Like, I'm just saying, hey, admit it. Face up to it. That thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God and hast scattered the ways to the strangers under every green tree. Ye have not obeyed my voice, say the Lord. Turn, O backsliding Israel, say the Lord. For I am married unto you, and I will take you one of the city and two of the family, and I will bring you to Zion. Look at this in verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Thank God for those that will contend. Amen. Amen. And that's what God is looking for today. Pastors that will just feed them the word of God as it is. Not be ashamed of it. Not be ashamed of God's ways. Not be ashamed of the bonds and the affliction Paul faced. Don't be ashamed of my chains. Because one day, my brethren, let me just say to you, we'll be put in prison, we'll be taken to the slaughter because of the life that we live as a godly people in this wicked nation. And listen, it might be the creeps that call you out, not the world. That creep in and spy on our liberty. That's a scary thing. I pray sometimes, I said, Lord, I don't really know sometimes who the creeps are, but please take care of them. When we can't see them. Because they're that subtle, they creep in. You know, if you love this book, Seriously, if you love this book and the author of this book, you know what you'll do? You'll contend. If you love God and you love His Word, you will stand. Have a look at Proverbs and we're done. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. Have a look at verse 4. They that forsake the law, what do? Praise the wicked. What does it mean to forsake the law? What does it mean to forsake the law? Let me just say this to you. You know what was one of the problems regarding these creeps? They didn't only turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. You know what else they did? They denied the Lord God and Jesus Christ. How do you deny them? How do you forsake the law? I would submit to you that they were knowledgeable about it. You know, it says it very clearly, and denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Forsaking the God of your youth, knowing the holiness of God and the will of God, and turning your back on what you know to be true is a serious crime. You're borderline apostate. And it's a serious thing to say, forget about this Christianity. Forget about the holiness of God and the ways of God. What kind of Christianity is this? It's strict. Yeah, forget about that way. Which way do you want? The way of Balaam? The way of Baal? That creates another God in your own mind so you can live the way you want and get away with sin. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the Hillsong pastor, Brian Houston? He said this. He said, the Muslim and you, we actually serve the same God. Allah to a Muslim and to us, Abba Father. How do you do it? How do you say that? How do you say that we serve the same God? You know what? You know what these people want to do? Not only turn the grace of God into sins. Hey, listen, all religions lead to God. Do you know that? Like, this is your modern day Christianity today. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic or an Orthodox or this or that. It doesn't matter if you're Buddhist or Muslim. As long as you have a heart for God and you're serving God in your religion, it all leads to the same God. And you know what? Christians are believing this. They're believing it because it's not stream. They deny the Lord God. They deny His sovereignty. They deny His lordship, that Jesus is the only way. Jesus has always been the only way and He'll always be the only way. And that's what they hate. And it comes out in their preaching from time to time. Though that forsake the law, praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, what do you do? You contend with them. Now, I said it last time and I'll say it again. When you got sin in your life, and you're not living a holy life or a life that's pleasing to God or a life of sanctification and growth, and you're soft on sin, you're going to praise the wicked. Oh, that's okay. We all sin. Yeah, we all sin, don't we? Aren't you a sinner? Yeah, of course I am. Of course. We're all sinners. But as Christians, we ought to live holy. Amen. I have a new sin? Yes, I have. And thank God I'm forgiven. Praise God, I'm forgiven. Oh, we're not all perfect. No, I never said we were. Hey, there's a sin here. We need to fix it. You see this greasy grace kind of subtle kind of approach? So subtle, it's unbelievable. We cannot excuse sin. And we cannot excuse sin in our own life first. That's why conduct, holiness in our own life contends for the faith. Because they can't find anything to say about you. As a matter of fact, Titus says that. Hey, men, be sober. Hey, make sure they can't find any dirt on you. Be blameless. Because they're trying to. Do you know why? So they can be justified. And then you're powerless. Because your life doesn't match your preaching. And that's what they want you to do, so you can cower and shut up. And join the club of this greasy grace. No. Mm-mm. If anything zaps the power of God, is when you don't live a holy life. Be done with it. I'm crucified with Christ. Amen. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By whom I'm, what? I'm crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified to me. You know what? I'm dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. Why? Because of this. When you look at the book of Galatians, you're going to find a repeating theme. You know what it is? Crucifixion. I'm crucified. I'm crucified. That's the new man. That's the new man. That's the new person in Christ. If we're crucified with Christ, then we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that what he says? Absolutely. All those that have, you know, called on the Lord, trusted Jesus Christ, have crucified the flesh and their affections. That's what the grace of God teaches us. Not the convenient Christianity, but the crucified life. That's the proper grace, and that's what we need to be contending. How? By confronting the creeps, by caring for Christians, and by our life, our conduct, the way we live. Amen. Let's pray.